Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
It is Tuesday, the 12th of October. You're listening to Viewpoint, Talk Radio Current Affairs programme with a panel of invited guests discussing the issues of the day. Thank you to Dave for Daybreak. 64 is no longer old age exactly. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Official. And you can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 90. A variety of ways to get in touch. Today we'll be looking at the response as cabinet ministers refuse to apologise after a MP reports that the government's early decision in the UK to lock down early cost thousands of lives. Will the UK government ever apologise, own up, man up for anything that they do? Plus, what are your thoughts on and sorry to be so UK centric, but as the UK is plunging into crises left, right, and centre, fuel, etc., Brexit, etc., the Prime Minister decides to take a holiday not a thousand miles from where I'm sitting as well. Should he be manning the bridge? Who is in fact running the UK? Is it Dominic Raab, for example, quote unquote, the Deputy Prime Minister? 952-78-4000 is the phone number. Studio at tre.radio is the email. At 11 o'clock, going to be going to London, speaking with Rex Leyland for his thoughts on what's happening in the UK at the moment. Anything else that's crossing your radar with regards, you want to have a rant, you want to have a talk, you want to have a viewpoint about, I'd be happy to hear from you today on the following numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
So let's have a look at what they're actually saying, the papers in the UK this morning. The government and scientists heard immunity COVID strategy cost many thousands of lives, according to the Financial Times. Herd immunity groupthink led to public health failure, MPs were told. That's the front of the Financial Times. In the eye, on the eye, the government's COVID delays and blunders killed many thousands. That is the front of the eye. Daily Express takes a different tact. Don't panic. We can fill shelves for Christmas. Retailers pulling out all the stocks to meet demand. That's the front of the Express. Christmas, obviously, the UK is getting worried about that with problems with supply chains and not enough staff and not enough drivers, etc. Looking at the Daily Mail, COVID, elderly were just an afterthought. Devastating MPs report lays bare government blunders. £37 billion pound test and trace branded fiasco, and thousands died in care homes because the elderly were just an afterthought. Somebody saying today that they were informed that their mother had died in a care home via an email. They weren't allowed to go and see her. The Times, state loans for firms hit by gas price rises. Boris Johnson is backing a multi-million pound bailout of industries struggling with high gas prices. Also, Britain must learn from big mistakes on COVID, says report. And they've also got a picture of Prince Andrew, not looking particularly happy on their front cover. Daily Mirror, COVID report, government failings, deadliest of delays. PM could have saved thousands by locking down just days after. Picture of Boris Johnson and Matt Hancock on the front cover. The Daily Telegraph starts with social care tax must double to tackle crisis. Remember, the Prime Minister made social care was going to be one of his things. He was going to address. Social care must double to tackle the crisis, with a current £12 billion levy only enough in the short term. Then also GP telephone sessions logged as face-to-face appointments. The Guardian, UK COVID failings among the worst in history. That's what the inquiry says. And also, number 10 backs quieting in cabinet spat with Sunak. Ooh, seem to be drawing up some positions there as well. The Metro leads with shamed over COVID chaos. Official report reveals biggest public health failure in history. Government and scientists are slammed for response to virus. Three-year-old risk assessment had forecast only 100 deaths in the UK. They were pushing for herd immunity. And look what happened, you might say. And let's have a look at what the Daily Star has. Daily Star reports that Heinz wants to replace ketchup bottles with eco-friendly glass versions, but said customers don't like hitting the bottom to get the last drop out. Ketchup Boss says they'd love to ditch plastic and use eco-friendly glass, but nobody wants to pat their bottoms. Boffin's trying to reinvent the sauce bottle. Looking at the front of El País, how the volcanic eruption has changed the face of La Palma. As COVID cases drop, dancing returns to Spain's nightclubs. That's their front page, kidding. And also, should Spain's bars and restaurants be allowed to ban children? Balicana in Bilbao has become the latest establishment to become a child-free zone, a move that has been described as discriminatory. Do you think, let's have some fun with this one, 9527840000, do you think that some bars and restaurants should be child-free zones? Are you in favour of child-friendly places? Do you need somebody to get away from the little darlings? Also, Spanish police arrest 12 for kidnap and torture of Belgian citizen over drug theft. According to authority, the man was covered in ice and placed in front of a fan, so he'd get hypothermia. And also, Spanish government drafts ambitious housing bill, but opposition vows to ignore it. The leftist administration of Pedro Sanchez wants to rein in soaring rents through tax incentives and caps. A move conservatives are calling suicidal interventionalism. There you go. And also, Spanish businesses seek to hire British tourists with tax-free shopping. Thanks to Brexit, UK nationals can claim a VAT refund on purchases made in the EU, a change that the industry hopes to take advantage of. Those are your main stories today. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Europe Official. You can WhatsApp me on +34 645 99 67 95.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
To contact TRE, please call 952 78 4000, email studio@tre.radio, send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95, message us on Facebook Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
So, British Prime Minister Boris Johnson's holiday to Marbella, or more accurately, Benavente, seems to have divided the press and public back in the UK. His supporters say he deserves a break after a difficult 18 months, both publicly and privately. Of course, he contracted COVID. In fact, he almost died, according to reports, from COVID. He's lost his mother. He's got married and he's welcomed his firstborn, plus he's expecting a second one. His wife is, anyway. While critics claim that he's abandoning the country in the middle of a fuel crisis, Boris isn't the first British Prime Minister to choose Marbella for a holiday, with both David Cameron and Tony Blair visiting in the past. Though at different times, obviously. The fact that he appears to be staying at Zach, now Lord Goldsmith's palatial estate in the hills above Marbella, has also upset many, but to be honest, the property has been in the Goldsmith family for decades, since the late Sir James purchased it in 1985-86. It's not known whether the Prime Minister plans any outings from his base in the hills. In the meantime, comments on social media have ranged from "that's a long way to go for petrol" to "look where the sniveling little whelk is staying," right bias, hypocritical piece of dirt. Others might argue that with oligarchs, tax exiles and other assorted ne'er-do-wells seeming to pop up whenever Marbella makes the news, the beleaguered Boris was bound to choose Marbs for his holes. Give me your thoughts on that one. 952-78-4000. Do you think it's right the Prime Minister is taking a break from, if he's taking a break from his trials and tribulations at the moment? Or should he be there, as I said before? Did he know this report is coming, this damning report that's come out today? Thousands of lives lost due to decisions and mistakes at the start of the pandemic. Do you think that he should stay there? We had a government minister on national news this morning refusing 11 times in an interview. Steve Barclay, Cabinet Office Minister, refusing 11 times to apologise for mistakes the government made when they were pushing their herd immunity. Any thoughts that you have on that? Would like to hear from you. Meanwhile, some more breaking news. Office for National Statistics figures show the number of payroll employees showed another monthly increase, up 207,000 to a record 29.2 million in September 2021, returning to pre-COVID levels. So that's news coming out of the UK. 952-78-4000 is the phone number. studio@tre.radio is the email. The Facebook page is Talk Radio Professional. You can WhatsApp me. Yes, you can. +34 645 99 67 95. And it's to the lines we go. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello,
caller. You're live on TRE.
Yes. I'd like to put this out there, if you've got some very good people that I listen to your programme regularly, but it just suddenly occurred to me that after the pandemic, and obviously Europe was a bit on its knees, and now Russia is playing with the energy, and England's a little bit isolated through Brexit, I'm a little bit fearful that this is going to play very badly for England, and possibly it's being orchestrated by, let's say, our enemies. I just wonder what some of your more informative listeners would think of that.
When you say orchestrated by our enemies, you mean that basically you are fearful for Russia having their hand on the pump, as it were?
Well, I think that they've seen that we're on our knees, Europe. I'm very interested, after that lady was on Bill Padley's show, Sherry Marscombe, talking about her book, and evidently, from the evidence of her book, Wuhan was definitely behind the whole thing, and possibly Fauci. And so it seems to me that there's an opportune time to catch the West on its knees, and it looks like Russia is doing that, and I'm just worried that England could be in a recession or in dire straits in the near future.
Yeah, can I just go back there? Fauci was behind this as well.
Sorry, I missed that.
You mentioned that you dropped the F-bomb, the Fauci word. I'm just wondering what you meant by that.
Well, the thing is that this journalist from Australia is extremely informative. The article was too big to be published in the paper, so she's written the book.
Yeah.
She was on Bill's programme last week, and there's no doubt in her mind she has the evidence to say that Fauci wanted to do a gain-of-function lab in America, but thought it was too dangerous, and financed it to be done in Wuhan. That's the nub of the book.
Right, okay. All right.
That's what I'm basing it on. I mean, a lot of people have commented to me who listened to the programme, and I don't think she's peddling false news by any means. But as I say, you've got some very informative listeners, and as I'm worried about England, although we live in Spain, but most of your program's based on what's going on in England. So I wondered what people thought of that.
Thanks for the call in there. Other home nations are available. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Costa-Blanco.
Good, Kate.
Responding to your first caller, I too found the report disturbing. However, that doesn't illustrate this dastardly plot. It merely illustrates or is an attempt to find out how the coronavirus started. What's much more concerning this morning is there's publication of a report of two select committees of MPs damning absolutely the Boris Johnson's government's response to what actually happened. Now, this is really, this is not plot land. This is what they did when they should have been doing. And there are a number of things that the Select Committee listed. The most heinous of the crimes is the waste on the trace and track business.
Dodo Harding and all that, and the huge amount of money put into that one.
Not the usual amount of money. That amount of money would normally have gone into the public health service for an efficient response, instead of which, under some kind of doctrinaire, reduce public sector, give money to... Well, the sarcastic line, which is in the circumstances justified, is phone up all the Tory party donors and invite them to put in their bids. Do not operate the legal and the legally required business of tenders for public money. And a lot of money has gone was squandered, and a lot of time, and, say, the select committees, and they've got the information, not me, a lot of lives lost. Now, that is an absolutely damning thing, and I want to know, personally, I would like to know who authorised that particular choice of action rather than another.
I mean, it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because, you know, Johnson and the advisors, Cummings, etc., were pushing for herd immunity, whilst other nations within Europe were going, went in hard and fast, as the saying goes.
Yes.
Italy, Spain, for example, France, Germany. And, the UK decided once again to go it alone.
Well, how far they actually went and did anything for herd immunity, as opposed to just murmuring the words. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Their reaction was, factually, was a very much slower than anyone else. Certainly within Europe, we were at least a week behind. With all the information that everyone else had, Britain was about at least a week, if not 10 days, behind Spain, for example, just taking two countries that all of your listeners have got an interest in. But someone somewhere took the decision, whether it was in Lord Belloc, not Belloc, I can't remember his name now, he's come up in two or three recent things as being the person who's responsible for giving out the contracts. Well, whether he was the person responsible for saying, fine, this is the way we go, or merely, okay, right, I'll go that way. But it wasn't written in concrete that we would splatter out money to Dido of whatever. It was normal. Everyone else in the world, as far as I know, knew they put that money into public health authorities, who at least had practice runs in the Cygnus operation in 2016. They knew what to do if there was a pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah, they had had these simulations for what was going to happen.
Exactly. So to actually ignore that expertise was criminal, and I mean criminal. And they ought to be done for it.
Indeed, Kate. And in fact, Ray's come in on studio at TRE.radio saying, yes, those responsible for the dreadful mistakes made during the COVID virus should be held fully accountable and perhaps even prosecuted accordingly, especially
yes.
Boris Johnson.
Yes, absolutely. And this is not political vindictiveness. This is government. You know what I mean? Good governance mentality, and not his half-baked ideas is a different thing. The fact that they're contaminating the whole of the British Isles at the moment is another thing, but this is public slaughter.
Thank you very much for your call in there, Kate. 952-784-4000 is the phone number. Studio at TRE.radio is the email. The Facebook page, Talk Radio Official. You can WhatsApp me, +34 645 996795. Jason's been on saying, if they redesigned the glass ketchup bottle with an angled bottle for stacking sideways, gravity should do the rest. Coefficient of friction for sliding of fluid is superior than plastic and recyclable. You see, that's why we have the important things happening here on Viewpoint. If you want to WhatsApp me, +34 445 99 67 95. The Rich is coming in with this whole idea of enemies. The idea that we have enemies out there plotting against us. Just the caller realised that Russia parks its dirty money in London. Why would it want to disrupt that? The UK boasts that the vaccine rollout was a success, but it was really quite average. If you time all countries from an equal start, many other EU nations have fared better. And Steve Barclay refuses to apologise after a damning report found tens of thousands of lives were lost because of a delay on lockdown. That was Sky News this morning. Therefore, hashtag Boris lied, Britons died. 952-78-4000, live to the lines again. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, it's John from Los Poliches.
Morning, John.
I'm just saying it's wonderful how brilliant we are in hindsight. But if I can remember, we have a huge clash of which way to go. In fact, still goes on now. They're saying Sweden were right not to clamp down and ruin their businesses and keep going. I mean, they've had been criticism of Sweden, and there's also been high praise. So it's a difficult choice to make. And I think very, 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 very hard for anybody in politics or whatever to make those decisions. And so hindsight's a wonderful thing. But one thing I think they are going to get severely criticized for, because of the panic they did of the NHS beds, that they sent the old people back to their deaths. And I believe, and I've read a story on it, and I do believe it, that the care homes were actually given incentives to take them back where they had, obviously nothing had been done that way. And the huge loss of life there, I think there's going to be a severe criticism over that. Who's responsible? I don't know. Who knows what we all do in a panic?
Yeah, I mean,
I think, you know, this is not the real report. The real report comes out later on. This is a parliamentary report with all its bias as well. I think old Boris, he's going to get some severe criticism, but I don't think the criticism of not acting quickly is a fair one when people are contemplating which was the best way to go. We still don't know which was the best way to go, whether the lockdown has lost so many lives in all the other operations that have not been done in the UK and possibly the same in other parts of the world. When you say hindsight's a wonderful thing.
I said one thing. John, thank you very much for the call in 952-78-4000. This in from Elizabeth in Brighton. Hi there. One, hindsight is always 2020. Everyone could always do better. I have no feelings either way, whether or not Boris should or should not go on holiday. Your little darlings could be my nightmare. Absolutely. That's about child-free restaurants. Of course, if it's true, that's a damn good reason not to use the aforementioned establishment. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Okay, Costa Banker, responding to John's comments. No one's talking about hindsight. There was no need to panic. What they chose to do was they talked about herd immunity. God knows whether they spent any decision time on it. I'm talking specifically about the fantastic waste of time and space on throwing out contracts to Tory party donors, which were the test and trace was the least effective of any other country's system, because they had not used the practiced public authorities.
Yeah, well, I mean, this seems to be the problem. I mean, we had Matt Hancock, who was at that point, you know, health secretary, giving, contracts to the guy who was his landlord at his local wine bar. I mean, this is the route down which we went.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I'm saying. That was a conscious decision by someone in government, whether it was Johnson, whether it was this Lord B, whose name I can't remember, but apparently he was in charge of giving out contracts. But whoever it was should be fairly roasted for that.
Yeah, but the thing is, I mean, you can argue that we see this again and again and again with this government. We see cronyism, it's worse. We see jobs for the boys. We see, a culture in the current government, you could argue, that rewards those through contacts, that rewards, as Richard has come in on saying, Russia's a place for dirty money. We've opened our doors to Russian oligarchs, but we're closing our doors to Afghan immigrants. And therefore, we're living in a society at the moment, or a government that doesn't want to take responsibility, that doesn't want to put its hands up and say, we were wrong, we can learn from this, and is more concerned with lining the pockets of its friends.
That the evidence is there for that. Absolutely. Cheers.
95 9527 8 4000. Let's get you rocking and rolling this morning. 95 2 78 4000. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Sorry to bother you again.
That's all right. That's what we're here
John,
for.
Hi. Just to say, I wasn't taking issue with what Kate said. All I was saying, because I think what she's talking about is a major report that's inquiry that's bound to come, and there will certainly be heads rolling there, because what Kate has been saying is true. It's going to be a scandal. But that this was just a parliamentary report. The main report, the main inquiry is coming fairly soon, and there's going to be heads rolling there, probably including Matt Hancock, because I think the what will come out regarding the old people put back in homes was a scandal, and also the contracts were a hell of a scandal, and obviously a bit of panic there as well, dishing them out like they were, whatever, but that's going to come in the major report that comes out in a few months.
And who can forget Operation Moonshot? We never heard that one again. They were going to have... Remember that one in the middle of the pandemic? God.
I mean, that's Boris. I mean, if you listen to what he has to say, then, you know what he's like. We're not learning anything from what he comes out with those comments. What was it? The most wonderful, whatever it was, and turned out to be total crap. Who knows? But that's Boris. And, to me, he should be gone. I think he's been a huge disappointment.
And good morning to the current Prime Minister, if he's listening in from Zach Goldsmith's place up in the hills above Marbella.
Get down to Los Peliches. It's much cheaper down here, and the sea's wonderful.
Right, then. Thank you very much for that. Literally working for the tourist board of Fuengirola in Los Peliches. There. Good to hear from you.
Unpaid as well.
A consultant, one of the spads. Thanks.
A bit like you, not even any free lunches or dinners.
I wouldn't go that far.
Unlike yourself. Okay.
Thank you, John. 952-78-4000 if you want to get involved with this one. I think you mean that Hancock... Yeah, I can't say that word. I know that there are some ones, but I can't use that word cash, but he threw it up the wall. You must not forget, says Richard, the politicians are short-termist. Richard, you're such an idealist. It was a catalogue of errors, starting with Bodger, stopping that virus prevention body pre-COVID. Hancock was responsible, but he's gone. And any inquiry that comes from this will be the usual nonsense that lessons must be learned, in the same kind of way that, whenever there's a gun massacre in the States, we have thoughts and prayers. The amount of lessons in the UK, the amount of lessons that the UK has learned over the decades should make it perfect. Yes, 952-78-4000, the phone number, studio@tre.radio is the email, the Facebook page, Talk Radio Official, and you can WhatsApp me on +34 645 9967 95, raise back on in on the emails. Hindsight is a wonderful thing. Yes, indeed. But Bozo's actions were criminally inept. The planet in general acted responsibly. Fair enough. But Boris Johnson certainly didn't. Boris Johnson certainly didn't, and openly criticised the actions of others. Bozo is simply not up to the job, and has directly caused the UK death toll to be far higher than it could have been. He is guilty of murder or manslaughter at the very least.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Life and series of TRE Talk Radio, Pure Voice in Spain. Going to go live to London and Rex Leyland after the national international news at the top of the hour. If you want to get involved with today's show, then here are the numbers.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio@tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 9967 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
talking all things to do with government response to COVID. Ministers refused to apologise 11 times for the government's handling of the coronavirus pandemic after a highly critical report by MPs says thousands of lives were lost due to delays and mistakes by both ministers and their scientific advisers. We followed throughout the scientific advice. We got the vaccine deployed extremely quickly, and we protected our NHS from a surge of cases, Cabinet Officer Stephen Barclay told Sky News when asked if the government would apologise. I'll come back to that in a minute. We go live to the lines, 952-78-4000, morning caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Charles. Peter.
Morning, Peter.
Good morning. I think there's a massive point being missed when apportioning blame here. As your first caller mentioned, and as we probably, unless you're born under a stone, most people would agree now that this virus came from China. It was prevalent way before we were known. There was an attempt on a cover-up. This is not conspiracy. The facts are there now. So if anyone's to blame, it's China. It's nothing to do with the UK government. And for all the people knocking the UK government at the moment, and I'm not going to defend them, but there was also in that report how they done in vaccination. Mm-hmm. So one outweighs the other. But the fault lies with China.
Right.
And the world should be asking China to answer what went on and why it went on. And if anybody should go after anybody for money or murder, it should be China. They're getting away with it, and nobody seems to be pressing them on what happened.
Can I just play devil's advocate here for a minute, Peter, if it's okay with you? But so if there's a tidal wave that starts in China, and we have, and you know, Europe's got warning of it, and they don't put up tidal defences, then is still China's fault?
Well, yeah, I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, just among, you know,
But this was an unprecedented thing. It put the world on red alert, and nobody seemed to know what was going on from day one, because nobody was informed. And yes, of course, you have to have measures, but nobody knew how to deal with it all around the world. You could sit here now and say you should have done, and still it's not being dealt with right. Many countries dealt with it in different ways. Some of them got it right, some of them got it wrong, but no one got it all right, no one got it all wrong. It's just the way it was. But my point is that if we don't, I mean, one of your regulars on this show said, I don't care where it come from, doesn't matter, deal with it when that. Of course it matters, because if it came from the laboratory, if it's not zoonotics, if it's not came from another animal, then we've got an awful lot to worry about, because it could happen again.
Yeah.
And what they were doing under gain of function. So the world really needs to get on top of this and make sure that it never happens again. And you're not going to do that unless you find out how it did happen. Now, also answering that, or attempting, in my humble opinion, the guy's first question about England being isolated and recession and the thing, this all happened. Whether it happened deliberately or not, it happened just after we had the crash in 2008. Then, just before COVID came along, we had this problem in the world with the repurchasing rate, and it looked like something serious was going to go wrong with the economy. And literally, COVID stopped that. And now it's come back again. There's all this printing of money, inflation come along. We've got no problem with demand. We've got supply problems. And there's this huge problem in the world. There's two very big whales in this world. That there's a woman called Cathy Wood that says we're going to stagflation. And Michael Burry, him of the Big Short fame, is predicting all sorts of terrible scenarios with the economy and inflation and that. So we are moving to this probably at best some sort of 70s stagflation type thing. Now this, in my opinion, is all falling right with COVID fitting in there, because the world's economy's collapsed. 2 years after that COVID, with all the repurchasing, right, we're now finding out who was getting bailed out under that. And it's the banks, all of it, the banks. And there's talk of now that, you know, digital currency, World Bank's taken over, the Federal Reserve going to step in, and we could literally lose the banks and be direct answerable to the Federal Reserve. The world's economy has tanked. It happened in 2008. They kicked the can down the road. They put the finger in the dike. Whatever you want to say, but the world's economy has tanked, and we're about to pay the price. And anybody who thinks that there is no inflation here is dreaming, because we're all suffering from inflation. And it's not mismanagement in the UK. It's not supply shortage. They're turning off the power in China as we speak because they have power problems.
Mm-hmm.
The Lebanon have just been out of power. India's coal reserves are running out. But the trouble is, I've mentioned before, Giles, these ESGs, these economic, social, governance things. If you keep investing in these futuristic companies, nobody's investing in old money in old companies. And there is not enough coal, there's not enough oil to make the step into the new world and the new environment and the new power. So we're going to have these outages, shortages, inflation, and there's going to be an almighty collapse because China, as we speak, Evergrande is defaulting. Fantasia has defaulted. $65 trillion worth of property over there, most of it not paid for, leveraged. And these companies now have to fire sale everything they have, which will bring down the Chinese property market, and it will tank and go onto its knees. And all these people are going to lose vast amounts of money. And China has been the bank of the world, keeping everything going, and it's not going to be going for much longer. So it's not the UK, it's not England, it's not Brexit. You can't blame energy crisis in China on Brexit. You can't blame Lebanon having no electric on Brexit. You can't blame India turning off the power on Brexit. There is a huge problem around the world, a financial problem, and every 70 years the financial system tanks. We're well over that, and it looks like the financial system's going down the plug hole, and we've got some tough times coming along.
Yeah.
And I feel sorry for some of the youngsters, because they've been fortunate enough to come along. Anyone under the age of 40, they've never really seen it tough. They've never seen a massive inflationary period, and they've never seen massive job losses. It's that everything goes back to the old no more boom and bust with Brown. You know, they seem to think that this global economy had it all sussed. Well, the problem is with the global economy, when it goes, it goes globally.
Yeah.
The global economy is about to go down the pan, I believe.
Can I just come back? Because I just want to go back to one of the points you made at the beginning about this whole digital currency. I mean, are we talking blockchain here? Because I got cornered a couple of months ago by somebody who was evangelical about blockchain and the fact that it was taking it away from the banks and that the people would have control, and this would get rid of any possibility of any global financial crash that was coming.
Well, that's a weird one. I mean, I've tried to understand blockchain and Bitcoin and the likes of it. And in the early days, I had a little dabble in it and in and out in the early days. But now it's ridiculous. It's knocking the door of $60,000. But when Joe Public starts talking about it and doesn't understand it, you know that it's like the cab drivers tipping the jockeys in London.
Yeah.
It's got to that point when Joe Public think they know about Bitcoin. Bitcoin's being handled by a handful of people, mostly probably Chinese at the moment. The reason it's rocket, I think, in the last few weeks, is the Chinese are trying to get their money out.
Yeah.
China have banned it. Now, if we go to a digital currency, I can't see any government allowing Bitcoin to do what it was invented for. And if you listen to some people, and the reason it was invented, the whole conspiracy theory on that. But the central banks will have their own digital currency. So I don't know if Bitcoin can really take a hold if central governments are going to do their own. And once central governments do their own, then we've got this complete, this universal basic income, this point system, people not having to work, reward their points, and the banks disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said a few weeks ago, we're run by a technocracy. FinTech is the new banks. Banks will disappear. It will be direct government money, if there is such a thing as money, a currency, whatever they want to call it. But no, I mean,
banks will disappear. Some of us who bank with a well-known brand that's currently on strike in Spain would absolutely back you up on that one. Peter, good to have you with us. Thank you for your points, as always, my friend. 952-78-4000. Morning call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Costa-Blanca.
Yes, Kate. Yes, Kate.
I want to reinforce what the last caller has just said.
Right.
That there is a serious crisis coming. I want to add a bit of information. Bitcoins depend on a very, very large use of electricity. This is why I think their time is numbered anyway.
Oh, so you're another one saying the bank. So you're also saying the bank is going out, going to be going on.
No, I'm not saying it's going. The banks would disappear. Right. We'd all like that.
Yeah. Okay.
What you want is banks that actually work in your favour, as opposed to working for themselves and etc.
Yeah.
But the financial context is going to change a lot. I think that the last speaker is exactly right on that. No matter what particular direction, however. There is this today has yeah. come out a report specifically on the United Kingdom's response to something that happened worldwide.
Yeah.
Where it's then started. I mean, no, the Spanish got blamed for Spanish flu, merely because that's where the first place it was.
Yeah, we know that whole thing about the Spanish flu because it was reported, etc., and it wasn't actually coming out of Spain. Yeah.
But in this sense, it doesn't really matter as long as if it turns out that America was subsidizing, you know, financing research.
Yeah.
Exporting dangerous research. This is actually something that can be taken on board on international law, I would have thought.
Indeed. Got some calls coming in. I should be back to you later on, Kate. Got another call coming in, if that's okay with you. 95278-4000. Morning, caller. Thank you for holding. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
I don't mind holding for you, Giles. It's Alf.
Hello, Alf. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing okay. By the way, Peter's contribution was great. I always enjoy listening to him, but the complication bit of that is, as Peter well knows, is most people in the world are not up to speed with what he talks about, financial stuff. It gets a bit too much for some people. Not that I don't understand what he says, and I really do. You know, I thought it was a real great contribution this morning. However, I want to get back to the simple stuff, if you
all
don't
right.
mind.
No, I'm very happy with the simple stuff, Alf. You know me too well.
So, Boris, this is a message for Andreas. I know he's not on, but I'm sure he'll listen. This, you know, they've sent Boris here. Goldsmith brought Boris here because he wanted to bring him to a country that runs itself properly to show him how to run it, you know, Britain properly. That's why Boris is in Marbella.
I can hear several million Catalans throwing things at the phone, throwing things at the radio as we speak. Alf, but off you go.
Yeah, well, and the second thing, this COVID report, you have to put it into the context of which it is. Two Tory MPs who chair the two committees, who fell out with Johnson big time, who don't want Johnson to be the leader of the Tory party, put together a report that says no more than collecting together all of the issues that have been going on for the last 18 months. So this is nothing new. And if you listen to all of the reporters about it, it's nothing new. What they've done is put Johnson in the spotlight again and said, oh, it's all your fault. And I don't know, I think it was Peter or John. And they say you cannot blame Johnson for most of it. And to be honest, he is the world's best at deflecting the blame onto others. So it will be everybody else's fault. And John in Los Peliches, yeah, I listened to him intently as well. He says, oh, you wait until the real report comes out and heads will roll. Nobody, as far as I ever remember, through parliamentary reports or whatever report comes out, whatever inquiry, whatever investigation, heads don't roll. There's always, and someone said it, they will lay blame, and then they'll say, and we've got lessons to learn. But it's whether they ever learn the lessons, and I'm not sure they ever do, because there was a report, they've been reporting there. You know, they used statistical data that said there was only going to be 100 deaths. It was some report done some years ago. You know, they learned nothing from what happened with the Spanish flu. They learned nothing what happened with SARS. They learned nothing about what's happening in Southeast Asia. They learned nothing about what was happening in Australia because of SARS. They learned nothing. They did nothing. And, you know, again, quite rightly, the world, it wasn't just the UK, although I would say the UK fared worse than others, but the whole world was in a mess trying to deal with this. So the report is old news. It's not going to find people. Oh, and by the way, the proper inquiry, if anybody's ever been near any inquiry that politicians have been involved in, even if they're independent inquiries, how long are you going to wait? 3 years? 4 years? How long has Grenfell been going on? And they're nowhere near a conclusion. You know, they've issued some comments about what should have happened, what shouldn't happen. But the inquiries for these things last years. So by the time, what they'll do, who was it they said, will they ever apologise? 11 times he was asked and 11 times he didn't apologise. Of course they're not going to apologise at that point. But, you know, in 60 or 70 or 80 years' time, like with the Australian kids that were sent to Australia wrongly and the Canadian stuff and the Roman Catholic Church stuff, you know, years later, someone might say, oh, we're sorry about what happened. But it's, you know, the people who you're talking to then won't remember what's going on today.
Mm.
So, you know, stop pinning your hopes on all this thing. It's just not... It's not going to happen. Not in my lifetime, anyway. You know,
well, hopefully in the next couple of years, we don't like you to stay with us for that long, at least, my friend.
Well, yeah, but it's going to take... You know, they're not starting this investigation. It's a public inquiry. It's not starting until the spring. I haven't even said which month in the spring. It will take at least a year, because, you know, I've been around public inquiries and parliamentary stuff, and it will take at least a year to sort out who's going to chair it, who's going to be on the panel, who are going to be called as witnesses. And they haven't decided yet whether, you know, the inquiry is going to be able to subpoena people to appear in front of them yet, in all cases. So, yeah, I think people are pinning their hopes on something that, it's got to happen, it will happen, and it will be recorded in history that it happened. But it's not going to affect anything that we're looking at today.
Right.
If heads roll, they've either already rolled. You know, I wish you said you got something about Matt Hancock. It's Tony Hancock. We all know that. He's the best at it.
Yeah.
And the last one on that is, you asked a question. You know, Boris Johnson's taking a break.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, should he be allowed to take a break? And my comment is, can't he take a longer break?
Aha, right.
That would be best for all of us.
And on that one, Alf, I've got some more. I've got some more. Well, you can call back in, but I've got
Kwasi Kwarteng.
Careful.
Is the bloke. If Johnson believes in what he's doing and asking for funding for industry to overcome this energy issue, why isn't Johnson doing it? And he's not doing it because he's put Kwasi Kwarteng behind the eight ball, as usual. That's the next bloke you all blame for not getting it right.
Got another call coming in, Alf. Cheers, mate. For that one. Putting Kwasi Kwarteng behind the eight ball is an interesting concept. Morning, caller. Thank you for holding. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hello, Giles. Yeah, it's Sharon Alicante.
Morning, Sharon.
Morning. Peter's call was good. Peter was looking at the macro, which is crucial. We have to look at the macro, but we also have to look at the micro. And going back to, as Alf pulled a trivial detail, the Tory government, after the banking criminality, they cut and they cut and they cut to a far greater extent than many other comparable countries. And if you look at, they cut on many things that most people don't seem to be aware of. For example, they cut on the storage capacity in the NHS. They cut on the capacity to do most aspects, to sort of sort out most aspects of the COVID crisis. And Germany overall has done better, and Germany did have, in the initial stages and still has, a capacity whereby you can just roll out extra beds, etc., etc. They have a system in place that works. I think Johnson is not, you can't throw all the blame at him, but you can throw all the blame at people of his ilk who support austerity. And I still think they do support austerity because they're looking at the reintroducing the £20 universal credit. So they're still doing austerity in their own mean way. So you, and we, and also in 2016, if you remember around then, there was a rehearsal for something like this. There was a report made on it in detail as to what we should do and what we should spend money on. And they totally and totally ignored it. Now, that was criminal because a lot of the recommendations in that report would have helped us no end in the actual onset of the pandemic. So they have a lot to answer for with the austerity they inflicted on the people. And it's actually backfiring. It's a false economy because it's backfiring and they have to, they're having to fork out far more now for a population that has probably got more long COVID patients than many other comparable countries. And I've heard that the long COVID is becoming quite a big issue over there with the, mm-hmm. both the young and the old. So again, austerity is false economy. To the, when you take it to the, we had to have some austerity. Everybody had some austerity, but they took it back to the bones, and it was cruel and it was wrong. And it, we're seeing the results of that now. Thanks, Charles.
Thanks for that one, Sharon. Always good to hear from you. 952-78-4000. Coming up to the end of the first hour, it's flown by Viewpoint. Let's have a quick look at some of the more stuff that's been coming in if you want to get involved with today's show in the second hour.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Richard, I'll come back to some of me or many points, but who is responsible, says Ray. As you know, I was a London fireman for decades and virtually qualified up to paramedic status. As I was in this position, if I was ever found to have caused suffering or death, then I would have probably been held fully accountable, but would be going to court for murder or manslaughter, but luckily I never made such mistakes. So why can't Bozo be held responsible for the terrible mistakes he made, which was directly against both scientific and medical advice? Strong words there from Ray. And just looking at a quick a few other points coming up as well. Apologies to Alf. Spain being run well, just 1 point. 17 regions, each with their own tax rules. To most people, that might not be an example of a country being run well. Right then, coming up to the top of the hour, national international news, and then we're back with Rex Leyland from London and more Viewpoints after the break.
Discuss, challenge, inform, comment, Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe.
Giles Brown.
Live comment and discussion with studio guests.
Viewpoint.
To contact TRE, please call 952-78-4000. Email studio at tre.radio. Send us a WhatsApp on +34 645 99 67 95. Message us on Facebook, Talk Radio Europe Official, or tweet us at TRE Talk Radio.
Going to go back to some of the points that came in during the break and during which I was unable to get to. UK Bozo vaccine was a rollout success. It was really quite average. If you time all countries from equal start, we said before, this is Richard, how many other EU nations have fared better? If Steve Barclay refuses to apologise... So where we go with this, you must not forget, we said before this, it was a catalogue of errors, starting with Boris Johnson stopping the virus prevention body pre-COVID. Where it came from was irrelevant. It was how it was dealt with. Whether it was natural or artificial, it still had to be dealt with. And COVID, we're now suffering from post-COVID cost push inflation, which is cyclical, goes back to lessons being learned or not in this instance, still making the same mistakes as yesteryear. The Chinese central bank will bail out Evergrande to a degree. and there's limited contagion because it's difficult to invest in China as a foreigner. Let's go. Boris Johnson has earned himself to blame for his failure on COVID. He's consistently lacked a credible plan on sick pay, quarantine and borders. Heads may roll, just not his. Much like the banking crisis, did the UK arrest anyone for failures? The inquiries are nonsense. Why people pay any attention to it is beyond me. And so those are just some of Richard's points. We're going to go live to London and we're delighted to be joined by Rex Leyland. Good morning to you, Rex.
Good morning, Giles, and good morning, Spain. How is everybody?
Everybody is very well, and how are things on the houseboat in the Thames?
Well, we've had a few adventures, mainly that we have to every 10 years the vessel has to go into dock to have its bottom scraped, cleaned, painted, and the survey has to be done both for safety, obviously, and for insurance purposes, etc. And also, of course, if you were to come to sell, you'd want all the certification to be in order. So she had to go in, and we had to find accommodation, and we basically were on holiday going nowhere. It was probably the most expensive holiday I've ever paid for in my life, but I didn't go anywhere.
Right, that's right. So the ultra staycation. Now, making the news this morning has been the inquiry or the report saying that thousands died in the UK because of the inaction of the government and the scientific advisors. What's your take on this one, Rex?
My take was originally that I could not support the government on its policy of sending people back to the care homes. I think that was the start of the downward slide. I've said this to you before, Giles, on the show, and I'm going to say it again. In my opinion, I think this government from 2019 undoubtedly has youth on its side, and sometimes youth does not play well. People who are a little bit older with life experience and with age on their side are a little bit more capable of perhaps dealing with crisis. And I've always felt that this particular government, blessed with youth, have been, I think, grossly inexperienced to tackle the crisis from start to now, and I think it could have been better managed, to be honest.
I mean, the other thing is, it's not only the if you say it's the inexperience of youth, but it's the seeming inability to accept responsibility, if you like, to say, I mean, especially in the light of this morning on Sky News with Stephen Barclay 11 times refusing to apologise. I mean, to say, look, you know, we didn't get it right, we got it wrong. And what does that say? What sort of message does that send out if your leaders don't accept, the responsibility and accountability for their actions?
I totally agree. I mean, obviously, people crave to be in government. Politicians, that is their ultimate ambition, is to be a politician in charge of the country and do with it according to their beliefs and political persuasions. And undoubtedly, there have been some gross errors made. My only sympathy is, of course, that it's so long since we've had a pandemic, going back to as you mentioned earlier in your show, somebody mentioned the Spanish flu and whatever. I mean, there have been disasters, and they have mirrored each other. If you go back, and I read a wonderful article about the Spanish flu and how it was dealt with, and quite honestly, it's not any way different as to what's gone on now. The only problem is that the government were literally dipping their toe in the water, and they didn't really know which way to go, which is why I go back to a more experienced person, somebody who's been has had to suffer through life, or has had to be able to say, well, I've been down this road before. I think I know what to do. I think I know what to do best. So basically, And, of course, there's only one ship, one captain, and Boris is the captain, and he has to take the rap, if there is one to take. But it is, it's hindsight now, and I suppose it is easy to, to shut the door after horses bolted, but I think that there will have to be some inquiries as to what length they're going to go to. We'll have to wait and see.
I mean, we talk about inquiries. Alf was on a little bit earlier saying, not in his lifetime, Alf, we wish you long life, my friend. But, I mean, we still haven't had an inquiry into Grenville. And so, this could be five, 10 years in the future.
Yeah. And, of course, at the moment, all the systems, the government systems in the UK, that goes from the courts down to, as you say, inquiries, whatever. Everything's running behind due to the pandemic, and patience is a virtue. It is frustrating. We want things to be done more quickly as they used to be, but unfortunately now that's not the case. There's another little thing that gets up my nose while I'm on the subject, is that a lot of big companies are still using the pandemic as an excuse to say that, during these troubled times and everything else. I think that's got to stop. I think we've got to return to normality. When you make a complaint or when there's an issue, I think that certainly business should allow us that credit and respect to do things in a more capable way than they're actually doing. And I don't like people who hide behind the pandemic. We've got to move our lives on. We've got to learn to live with it. And we have to accommodate what it throws at us. And I think so far, so good. With the world getting back to normal. In fact, it is refreshing now that all the travel restrictions are virtually being lifted. Sadly, I lost my brother in Florida the other week, and I have to now go to Florida. And I managed to book a ticket yesterday to go on the 2nd of November. So it is really refreshing that life is returning, Giles. Is refreshing.
You said that the life is returning. What's it like then in London at the moment? I mean, people have been. I mean, I've heard people saying, "Well, there hasn't been the mask wearing." People just saying, "Sorry, off you go."
It's very relaxed in London. It's heaving. Everybody is doing. The business is booming. I mean, the roads are back to normal. The parking is back to normal. The pubs are full. The football matches are, they're all being well attended. We've got Brentford Football Club just close by and brand new stadium. And they're doing, one week it's the Irish, London Irish. Next week it's Brentford Football Club. And really, it's quite refreshing to see everything come back so quickly.
We've got a caller coming in on the line. Just let me take this call, Rex, and come back to you. Morning, caller, live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning. This is Matthew from Malaga.
Morning, Matthew.
I would like to make an express my totally feeling with the other caller who said about in despair inquiry and investigation that don't go anywhere. It takes years and years and years and will not be any conclusion. The only thing I would like to say is the only thing we can do, we are like flies in the society flying around, is through elections. When we make general election, the day we put our own opinion who we would like to be elected, that is the only moment we can make our own judgment. So how it goes and what it goes, we can always make a little, satisfaction to ourselves.
Yeah.
At least I voted for him, or I voted for her. I did my part. So this is what I wanted to say.
So you think that the reaction from the public should be in the next general election so they can say, look, we're not happy on how, if you don't like how this was handled, then make your feelings, express your feelings at the ballot box.
Yes, the ballot box. This is the only remedy for us who are flies. You, me, the other ones, everyone around who is not in power or in politics. This is the only way we can do it.
I have been described as many things, normally a small bug.
Misunderstand me
small
right.
Small bug or a particularly annoying mosquito, but yes, I'll go for a fly this morning. Good to hear from you in Malaga. Take care and stay safe, my friend.
You too. Happy Columbus Day.
Or Indigenous Peoples Day, as most of my friends are saying.
Sorry. No, I'm half American, so I forgot myself.
Okay, well, good to hear from you as well. 952-78-4000 going live to the lines. I won't open up that particular kettle of Pascal, but here we go. 952-78-4000. Be with you in a minute, Rex. Morning call to you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Kate Gustman.
Yes, Kate.
A quickie to Rex's very wise but very too cautious words. He said it's an inexperienced government. But Boris was chosen by the Conservative Party because he was perceived as an election winner. Now, this is not the same thing as a good governor. Good leader of the party, but, good leader of the country.
As Alf will say, the thing about politics is getting into power.
But Johnson is a nice example of precisely why it's not just getting into power. It's actually having a good set of policies. Just finishing quickly.
Yep.
When in power, the first thing he did was to kick out the serious and experienced good conservatives, senior conservatives, which was appalling.
Soames and Clark.
Purely because they were not, they were not part of the Brexit mentality.
Mm.
The Conservative Party is now the UKIP Party, in all...
Well, you could call it UKIP,
And then he appointed the kind of junior, inexperienced people in his cabinet that Rex was rightly criticising, purely because they were the only people who went along with the UKIP mentality. You've now got the sort of the foundations of actually a technically fascist state where all the power is concentrated in that part. Going away from the melodrama of that remark, but there is a point in this. He's concentrating power, bits of the legislation that are going in, so that the government controls what previously it had other external controls on it. It is really quite scary. However, just at the moment, we've got a concrete report by two select committees, which is deeply critical and ought to be used more by the media than normal criticisms of this government have been.
Kate, thank you very much for your call in, as always. Rex, did you hear some of...
Yes, well, I heard all... Yes, absolutely, and Kate, of course, is perfectly correct. He did chuck out all the senior members. I think the only thing that Boris has got going for now is an excellent taste in the choice of holiday destinations. We do not agree, Giles.
Let's not even go there. There is technically it's Benavides, but anyway. But yes, as I said before,
the Costa. It's on the Costa.
Yes,
that endorses that. And I think, in all honesty, everybody's allowed a break. Everybody has to blow away the cobwebs and pop away and recharge the batteries. And maybe when he comes back, having had the wonderful hospitality and sunshine of the Costa del Sol, he will be rejuvenated and be able to make more informed decisions as to which direction the country should now go in.
Yeah, but others will argue that this is not the time. This is not... We are in the middle of crisis. I mean, you see in all forms of social media, rich come in. Everybody's allowed a break when the timing is right. The timing is not right at the moment. We haven't even touched on the Northern Ireland Protocol at the moment. We've got the supply crisis. We've got the fuel crisis. Are you seeing, Rex? Come on, because you're on the ground there in London. I'm seeing on my social media feeds. I'm seeing empty shelves, and I'm seeing I'm seeing people queuing at forecourts, etc. What's going on?
Right. Well, first of all, panic buying. What is panic buying? It is an absolute... It's the stupidity of the human race, because one person says something, everybody then follows like lemmings. It's ridiculous. I hasten to add, I did not fill my car up during the time. I didn't need the petrol. And when I wanted to fill up, I literally went to my local station, which is virtually across the road. I waited for about 5 minutes and filled up. The last few days, the queues have disappeared, hopefully for a long time. What is frustrating is when you go to the supermarket and you look for a particular item, and I'll give you the item is spray starch. So when you're doing the shirts and you spray on the starch, there isn't any spray starch around. Now, having seen a program yesterday about, I think it was on the news, how everything is log jammed at the ports, where they can't get the stuff onto the lorries because there aren't enough drivers, and there's a lot of stuff coming in from all over the world, inevitably there will be shortages. And the shortages, I mean, we tried to buy coriander. I went to four shops to buy fresh coriander. There wasn't any fresh coriander. Sometimes there are things that are lacking, but they're not threatening, and you have to learn to live with it. And it is what it is. But, it's a matter of time when this government, I would say certainly suffering from inertia, have to make a decision to allow the correct number of people in to fill the gap. But they keep hanging on about this economy that mustn't be dependent on cheap labour. But I'm afraid it's a fact of life. It's been there before. It will be there again. We will have to rely on people to pick the fruit and do the butchering and stun the pigs and butcher the cows and whatever it is.
Yeah,
if there's a skill shortage, the government has to do something about it, and they're not doing anything about it.
Priti Patel said that, you know, they were ending freedom of movement. She was very proud about this because they only wanted to attract the brightest and the best. And now it turns out that we don't need the brightest and the best. We need the people who will do we're using a rugby terminology, Rex, because you're in West London. You need somebody who will do the hard yards, who know the dark arts, who do absolutely the grunt. And you can have the backs doing all the flowery stuff, the brightest and the best, but you need the guys. You need the props. The number twos. I won't say you need the hookers. Yeah. You need the flankers. Easy to do the grunt work.
Well, I must say that, I mean, having been in the hospitality business all my life, I mean, going back to when I first started in 1974, I mean, we were dependent then on Spanish labour, I mean, and Portuguese labour. And that was, it was the backbone of the catering business, because English, British people didn't want to do that sort of work. It was hard to attract people to be waiters or bartenders or cooks or whatever it was, and that's always been the same, really. I will say that when you go around the pubs now, and certainly restaurants, there are many more English people in attendance rather than just Polish, Romanian, or whatever. Certainly it's prevalent that you are going to be served by somebody British, young, bright, and British. But the problem, Giles, is that most of the decent restaurants are now having to close 1.5 to 2 days a week in order to give their staff time off, because in the old days you had the overflow.
Yeah.
You open and trade 7 days, 14 shifts a week. Now you can't do that. Most of the places can only operate. They normally close sort of Sunday night, Monday, Tuesday, and reopen Wednesday lunch or something. Obviously
there is,
but I'm not saying it's 1.5 to 2 days.
Got a call coming in, Rex. Do you want to take this call, if I may? 952-78-4000. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name, where you're calling from, what's your viewpoint, please?
Hi.
Hello, you're live on TRE.
Hi, I'm Ramon. I'm calling from Marbella.
Morning, Ramon.
Morning. I have to say, I've never heard of so much BS on this programme today, and on most days. I mean, it appears to me that TRE really are very, very socialist, if not communist, and many of your callers, certainly the guy called Michael, I think, and another called Anthony, are supporters of the Communist Party. And what baffles me is, most of your callers, I suspect, live in Spain. So why the hell do they care what is going on in the UK? They make such statements as to be outrageous. I mean, there was a lady called before. She said, oh, they're going to not put back the £20 I've forgotten what it's called now. The government put gave £20 away during the pandemic.
Universal credit. The £20 on universal credit, yeah.
That was it. And she said, oh, they're not going to put it back. How terrible. It was done for the pandemic. That is nearly over. Why do people not understand? You cannot continue to give money out willy-nilly. And why should it go back? It wasn't there before the pandemic. Give me a reason why it should go back after.
Because of it, people might argue that we have the rise in NI contributions, so people are being taxed at source, and so therefore the universal credit should stay.
I'm not sure those sums add up. I haven't seen the numbers, but I don't think that's a logical reason. Just because those national insurance is going up, that's to cover the national insurance costs of the pandemic. It's got nothing to do with giving away the $3 trillion that's been given away. I mean, the arguments that come from the left wing, and then of course you have the cheek to put Cummings on, who is the biggest slanderer, disgusting, disgraceful man, and you quote him talking about Boris Johnson. Boris may not be the best prime minister we've ever had, but I doubt anybody, and I mean anybody, could have done better during the pandemic. Why are people so quick to criticize and claim this and claim that? We didn't do this quick enough. We didn't do that quick enough. He didn't listen. How do they know? They do not know. They're guessing, and they're throwing their weight behind the ridiculous arguments and promulgating terrible stories that are put out by people like Cummings. And I really just get sick of it. I live both here and in London, and I just don't understand it. You're not living in London. What the hell do you care?
Well, I care because what happens in London has a direct impact on my life, to be honest with you.
Really? How is that?
Because, well, there's a small thing called the Brexit vote, for a start, which changed my entire style of life here.
Yeah, but that's happened. What I'm saying is, from now on, why are you interested in what happens in the UK when you live here?
Because whatever happens in the UK has a direct impact on how I'm going to live my life from now on.
Well, that's happened. That's been and gone. There's
it's no not
point.
Been and gone. It's still an ongoing process.
Yeah, sure, but that's nothing to do with how the government acts from now on a day-to-day basis. What it is, it is. It's affected me as well. But I live by the rules, and I'll come when I need to come and when I should come and go home when I should. I mean, to create this chaos that's been caused by people on the telephone promulgating lies, distortions, it just baffles me. And particularly down here, I find it quite amazing. Quite amazing. Anyway, that's my view, and I trust you may get a little bit towards the middle on your station. At least have an alternative speaker to somebody like Cummings or your friend Anthony or Michael, the two communists on the station. Let's at least hear another voice when they put forward statements which are not only outrageous, they're lies as well. Let's at least hear something from the other side. Can we do that?
Well, it's good to hear from you, because here at Viewpoint we take in all views, and absolutely no problem at all. I'm just going to go and dust off the picture of Che Guevara that we have hanging in the wall here, and Uncle Joe. Good to have you calling as well. Take care and stay safe. 952-78-4000 here from the Politburo that is Viewpoint. Rex.
Giles, I mean, I have to say that that was a refreshing call. And, of course, the beauty is that we are allowed to scrutinise. We are allowed to bitch and moan. Because we live in a free and democratic society. And as a previous caller said, you use your pen at the ballot box when you want to change something. But in the meantime, if we want to bitch and moan, we bitch and moan. That's what it's about. That's what democracy is.
You've worked in hospitality, Rex. You know more about bitching than moaning than most people.
I bitch and moan all the time. And I certainly don't want to be tarred as a loving lefty, and nor do I want to be tarred as a right-wing fascist. I consider myself to be right in the middle, and so therefore I'm excluded from the last caller's opinion.
Listen, we know that Foxtrot... Off you go, Rex.
I want to say one thing, just en passant, about £20. I'll tell you what is interesting, is that we in the borough of Hounslow has been renamed the Republic of Hounslow. We have all been sent, and I know it's happened in a lot of other boroughs. I'm not sure about the rest of the country. I think it's happened in other boroughs in London. We've all been sent vouchers for £20, which obviously has come out of our ratepayers' money, to spend in local businesses in order to stimulate post-pandemic. I wonder what the previous caller would think about that. And we have until December the 12th to redeem the voucher. And the vouchers cover hairdressers, restaurants, pubs, bars, DIY shops, everything.
Bricks.
And it's a stimulus. What do people think about that?
Indeed. Got another caller coming in, if I may. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Hi, Giles. It's Alf again.
Morning, Alf.
Well, the People's Republic of Hounslow, that's a new one on me. I'll tell you what a People's Republic is. It's called Newham. 63 Labour councillors, no opposition. Worst council organisation you can ever wish on anybody because there's no opposition. At least Hounslow has an opposition, as far as I recall and remember.
It does. I know them.
Yeah, so there you go. And to the guy who thinks, I live in Spain. I've lived in Spain permanently for, this is my 15th year. And I'll tell you why I'm interested in UK politics, because all of my income, the whole of my income, the whole of my hospital treatment, the whole of my medical stuff is all organised and controlled by the UK. So people should stop saying, you holiday makers who pop over here occasionally and enjoy our sun, you go back there. I live here permanently because of the sun, and I don't need you coming here lecturing me about why I shouldn't be involved in UK politics. So, stick that in your pipe sometime and think about what you're saying and what it's doing. And to Rex, I'll always disagree with some of the things you say, because you said when you started, when you were in the industry, you found it, even then, you found it hard to attract the workers.
Correct.
You're finding it hard today. What should have happened, it's not about lower pay, it's about paying people the right amount of money. If you've ever picked potatoes or strawberries, or you've done, and I don't mean picking a punnet of strawberries for Sunday dinner, you do it as a living, it's a backbreaker. And you're going to pay these people less than a living wage. Less than a living wage.
Well, so that's all over, Alf. That's over.
No, it isn't all over. We keep on doing. We'd never learn from history. The history was made after the Second World War. We attracted foreign people to come and work in the UK because of their skills, and we paid them because of their skills. We then attract the Portuguese, mainly to Norfolk and Suffolk, because they were cheap labour. And that's the first undoing of it. And then we attract Polish workers in. British building companies brought Polish builders in to undercut the rights of British workers.
Alf, I'm going to have to interrupt you. Because a friend of mine, who's Lithuanian, the son, went back with his girlfriend to Lithuania. And he was working in the care business here in England. And he wants to come back to England, obviously can't, because the living wage in Lithuania, £3 an hour, he's not used to that. He's used to getting a minimum of £10 an hour. He can't live. And that's why people used to come here and still want to come here, because our basic pay is still higher than their own country.
Rex, you're missing the point. It's called, why can't you get British workers off of benefits and into work? You can't get them off of benefits and into work because the pay isn't high. I've had this argument so many times. If you're on benefits in the UK, I represented people who said, don't get me back to work, Alf, because I'll lose money.
Well,
I'll lose money,
Alf,
because
again,
I get more on benefits.
Speaking from my own personal experience, most of my staff in the catering business, which is unheard of, stayed in employment with me for a minimum of 10 to 15 years. I had a head waiter work for me for 23 years. Now, you say two things there. One is that they were nicking so much and so often that they couldn't afford to leave, or because perhaps they were happy in their job, they were paid correctly, remunerated correctly, and therefore it's to do with the employer.
Were they British?
Money to the right worker.
Were they British? Were they British workers? The argument isn't about having foreigners coming into the country. It's called foreigners at the right rate of pay that the British workers then are in competition with them.
Anyway,
that's how you solve the issue in Britain, and you get rid of and you change the benefit system.
Everybody's realised that now. They're going to have to pay whether they like it or not.
Gentlemen.
Yeah, but that's because of demand.
Right.
You know, it's being outstripped. So
the law of economics.
Okay, I'm going to have to stop to come into both of you there at the moment because I'm actually going to run out of time. I've got lots of calls coming, lots to get through.
Yeah.
Al, thank you.
Boris Johnson didn't kick out the good Tories, and he didn't kick out the experienced Tories. He was elected after the Tory Party threw them all out through their election process. So it's the UKIP Tory Party that threw out the experienced and the good people, not Johnson. He was the result of the same demise of the Tory Party. And I know you don't support him, Rex. That's why I'm saying it.
Thank you very much for the call in. Right then.
You got it.
Rex, I'm going to have to let you go as well, my friend. So just before I let you go, just some final points, please, because I want to get to the last 20 minutes or so. I've got lots of messages to get through.
It's always a pleasure to talk to Al. We end up probably meeting halfway. I just want to say that that things appear to be good here. That I'm sitting here, the traffic backed up on the bridge here. I always maintain when you can't find a parking space, it's a good sign that things are good. But I think that the economy is doing very well here generally, and nothing is perfect. We don't live in utopia, and everything is because of the pandemic, which thankfully is nearing a close. We have to learn to adapt and to accommodate things that we may not like or we used to other, you know, better things. We've just got to learn to live with it and move our lives on and try and open the world again and get the show on the road.
And I just had a quick WhatsApp in here suggesting that you grow your own coriander, Rex. How's that? On the boat.
We have. We've got it. I've got a nice big bush.
And on that bombshell, Rex Leyland, thank you so much for your time today on Viewpoint.
All the best.
Viewpoint with Giles Brown.
Always live, always lively, straight back to the phone lines. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. It's Lynn from Estepona.
Morning, Lynn.
I'd just like to respond to the gentleman that called you 5-10 minutes ago about why do we care about what happens in the UK.
Yeah.
I've lived here for 20 years. Absolutely love it. But I'm British, and all my family live in the UK. And I care, A, because I'm British, and B, because my family are there. And I think that's what a lot of Brits, we love Spain, but we are British at the end of the day, and a lot of us have family. So I didn't understand his way of thinking at all.
Lynn, thank you very much for your call in, as always. Good to hear from you.
Love the programme, as always, Giles. Thank you. Take care.
Morning call, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Yeah, hi, it's John from...
Hi, John.
Hi, Mary. Hi. Just a quick one, actually. It's a question for Peter, really. With every party in the UK now green, and the Labour and their manifesto said they're going to be the greenest party ever, with all that happening with the price of oil, which was $20 a barrel up to over 83, 84 now, and the gas price is up, they could come crashing down. It's just markets, and I've been in for 40-odd years. It does happen. But the question I want to pose, with all our expensive ways of getting, green ways of getting gas, whatever the case may be, a power, the UK is an island, a tidal island. And you can predict the tides virtually minute by bloody minute. So what I can't understand, this is perhaps where Peter could answer, why hasn't the UK spent fortunes on tidal power, which we wouldn't have to worry about the wind, because the tides are forever. And I say they're predictable for donkey's years ahead, but I'm surprised that nobody's really turned on the tidal side. So I'd be interested if Peter can give me an explanation of why we haven't. Confuses me.
Thank you for that one. As always, good to hear from you. Morning, caller, you're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Morning, Giles. Felix here.
Morning, Felix.
About this issue that was laid in at the very beginning of the program concerning Sherry Markson and her book, What Really Happened in Wuhan.
Yeah.
Interview with...
with Bill.
Interview on your program with... on your station, anyway. Bill Padley. One thing she said, I think this needs to be gone into carefully because, I'll give the reason in a second. One thing she said that I picked up on, she said that Fauci hadn't told the government, that was the government, Pompey and Trump, that they hadn't told them about the Wuhan lab, the collaboration of the Wuhan lab until 2017. Pompey, for a start, was in charge, head of the CIA. Does anybody really think for a second that America would not be aware that that lab existed and that the WHO was collaborating with it? Anybody really think that, given the position of America towards China? And the second point is, if this was not a conspiracy, if this did not happen, if they did not release this virus, or if it wasn't released from the lab, then China is being wronged grievously here. And there now are, I could say really, approaching 1 million dead in America from this virus. It's actually 700,000 last week. But it could well go to 1 million. This is 1 million dead Americans. Do you think that the possibility of a war with China is not possible in those conditions? Remember, this is a thermonuclear war. Remember that China is heavily, heavily armed with nuclear weapons. Mm. You're talking about grievous consequences. That's all. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for that one, Felix. Just to come actually, and then thank you for your call in there, because we had a WhatsApp in from Christy who said, in March 2020, the Epoch Times broke the Wuhan lab story, naming names. Epoch Times being by a leader of the Falun Gong religious group in China of 400 million. But Bill did a great interview with Aussie Sherry, who fleshed out the same story. Her book is now number one bestseller. When it comes to whom to blame, the consensus is the Chinese and the Chinese Communist Party. However, when dealing with the Chinese, the culture of face is still paramount, even today. So it has to be handled very diplomatically with the Chinese, and the consequences may never be revealed. At its best, it will give the West leverage, but as usual, the poor will pay. However, Fauci has a lot to answer for. Good morning, caller. You're live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Good morning, Giles Brown. It's Jason. Respectful good morning to you, your panel, and your listeners.
Morning, Jason.
Felix is actually quite right. A flashpoint that's going to come within the next year or so is Taiwan, as the Western world backs Taiwan, becomes increasingly polarised with China. Okay, but I don't want to talk about that. Look, I want to harp back to something. Please let me speak. I know Al speaks a bit and other people do. I just need to get something off my chest, Giles. Up till now, there's two perspectives on this goddamned virus thing. One is the vaccine perspective, the other the anti-vax perspective, but there's a third perspective. We are very few in number and we're eclipsed by everybody else that's so embroiled in their own entrenched positions, and that's the one coming from the nature side. Nature does not have any voice at all. I want to say now and put myself at odds with just about everybody, because I can, because my shoulders are strong, that both sides are very selfish.
Right.
Both sides are very selfish because the unvaccinated people are only thinking of their own self-preservation. But on the vaccinated side, they're equally selfish. They will say, oh, you must get vaccinated because you've got to protect everybody else. Right. Nonsense. They're only thinking of their own self-preservation. Okay? If they were really thinking on a species level, they would have refused the vaccine, that the third world, the poor people, would have also got vaccinated. If there was really on a moralistic principle stance, they did not. It's about self-preservation. That's the first point. Second point is, when people say to me, I'm selfish for not taking the vaccine, I said, it's actually the other way around. You're selfish. I'm thinking of nature.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of our species. We all have a time to live and a time to die. And medical science can prolong lives in an artificial way. And vaccines that are genetically modified can prolong life. But really, everybody's thinking of self-preservation. If people really cared about the planet or our species, they would realise that an increasing number of people on this planet is creating an increasing impact on the environmental systems.
Yeah, Jason, really, I'm going to have to cut you short here because I'm going to...
Be short, Giles.
I am sorry, Jason, because I've got to get a break and I've got about five or six things to get through and I don't want to go down that particular rabbit hole today.
Viewpoint on Talk Radio Europe with Giles Brown.
And my apologies to Jason for cutting you short there, my friend. I just didn't want to get out of that particular one. We've had the anti and the pro-vax argument. I've got lots of stuff to get through, and I've only got 6 minutes to go through. So, if you'll indulge me, if Johnson waits for a holiday until there is no crisis, he'll be waiting for a very long time. In any case, when he's there, he does nothing. So, what's the difference? That's from Bob in Santa Paula. Also, this one in. With the shortages, this is from Ian in the UK. With the shortages in the UK, service stations here in Surrey have all have all the pumps full of cars but no lines. If the supermarkets, it's the randomness of missing them that's strange. One day no granulated sugar, next day it's water, etc. However, most products are available but may need searching for at other supermarkets. Toys at Christmas look to be another nightmare with container shortages worldwide, ports blocked, and a shortage of truckers and food preparers, not to mention the nurses, doctors, care workers, fruit and vegetable pickers, butchers, etc. Great mix of topics. Thank you. I think that Ramon is Boris in disguise, says one. This in from Charles. Good morning to you, Charles. Morning, Charles. Point of interest, was Lloyd George vilified for his handling of the Spanish flu, which took 228,000 British lives? This one in as well. I'm interested in, this is from Donna in San Pedro de Pinatar. I'm interested in what happens in England because it's still my home country and most of my loved ones live there. And yes, it is still important to me. This in from, I don't do that one. Right. Okay. I cannot keep, if you have a point to make, that's fine, but we have other points to come in as well. And you are always welcome to come back on. No problem at all. But I have a lot of points to come in today. Replying to John's point about tidal power, a few years ago, Wales put forward plans for a fantastic tidal lagoon, which would provide tidal-generated power as well as provision for water-based leisure activities. Of course, the Westminster government refused to provide help with the funding and rejected the plan. This in from... we can live milk and eggs. We can live without them, but they are common staples, not some metropolitan elitist herb. Right then, anyone could have done better about handling the Downing Street cat. Could have done better, Larry Downing Street cat. The UK has performed the worst of anyone. Morning, call you live on TRE. What's your name? Where are you calling from? What's your viewpoint, please?
Oh, is that me?
It is indeed you, sir.
Okay, it's John Dodd.
Hi, John.
Listen to the programme. It's very, very interesting. Everybody's got a different point of view. Ramon is quite rightly asks, what are they worried about there for? And of course, it was a good question, but then again, he's going to get a load of booze on that one because a lot of people just can't afford to uphill and come here. But the thing is, I've been here longer than anybody, I think.
Right.
About 40 years. When I first came here, I had two Rolls-Royce cars.
Right.
One with an aeroplane engine in it and one with a normal engine in it.
Okay, and yes?
I stopped at the Marbella Club.
Yes.
And they invited me in. I was only four people there. And, of course, everybody thought you were a millionaire, but you only paid $16,000 a week.
What? And your point for the day, please, because I'm running short of time.
The point for the day is that the persons that visited Jack's... what's his name? The man that's the Prime Minister of England.
Otherwise known as Boris Johnson of the UK, Great Britain and Northern Ireland, but you're close, that'll do it.
Having entitled to have a holiday. But the thing is, I have to agree with everybody that's complained that he's not at this stage of the game. I mean, he's a fool. And anyway, he's still... I remember Boris as the fellow that left as Lord Mayor of London with a no-go area. He would have, when he got became Prime Minister, you'd have thought he got rid of the no-go area, but he didn't. He just ignored it. And I think that was a big mistake.
John, always good to hear from you. Good to hear from you today. And take care and congratulations for being the longest resident of Spain, you think, on this particular programme. Take care, my friend.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
952-78-4000. Lots of stuff coming in via various channels. You may not have heard the coming stuff, but he said there was a joke running the country and a joke running the Labour Party. I think he means I am the greatest and you should all insist on me running the country. Dominic Cummings, never mind. I live here in Spain permanently, but I have concerns for family and friends who are currently have to live in the mess caused by Boris and his fellow clowns. And concerning Dominic Cummings, he is one of the people who was so well respected by the right-wing supporters until, of course, he started to tell the truth, that is. Yes, indeed. Why should farmers pay above the market rate? The supermarket's fantasizing over perfect-looking fruit and veg. I'd rather have the cheaper, wonky veg available everywhere. So that is coming. And also, just another quick one coming in. So because the tidal power in the UK shores aren't strong enough. Right then, almost out of time. It has been my pleasure and my privilege to bring you this spirited viewpoint as always. My apologies to Jason. Again, we will bring you on next week, my friend, but I didn't want to get out, but that particular one, I'm not being censorship, even though obviously you have now all realised that TRE stands for not Talk Radio Europe, but the Trotskyist Republic of Estepona. I'm off to sing the Internationale, man the barricades, say no pasarán, and polish the statue of Lenin that sits proudly in the forecourt, comrades, before driving off in my Lada. Have a great, that is Lada, by the way, not the way I keep your pantry. Have a great rest of your day. This program will be repeated at 7 o'clock. Comrade Ritson is up next.
Expressed on Viewpoint by invited studio guests and callers do not constitute an opinion endorsed in any way by Talk Radio Europe.
You've been listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.